The meaning of the sensorimotor rhythm. Sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, is associated with a unique cortical state of calm, focused alertness combined with motor stillness. This state supports inhibitory control over voluntary motor output while maintaining readiness for movement, facilitating refined sensorimotor integration. The presence of SMR indicates that the brain is actively filtering sensory input and minimizing unnecessary motor activity, creating optimal neurophysiological conditions for concentration, learning, and behavioral regulation. In contrast to high beta, which reflects active cognitive and motor engagement, SMR represents a restrained, regulated neural state that prioritizes stability and internal focus over external action. Functionally, SMR contributes to multiple cognitive and behavioral domains, including attention, sensory gating, and motor coordination. SMR enhancement can reduce excessive motor responses and improve behavioral modulation for individuals with impulsivity or hyperactivity. It is also implicated in supporting sleep onset and continuity by quieting the sensorimotor cortex and enhancing thalamocortical rhythm stability. This quieting effect allows the nervous system to transition more easily from wakefulness into sleep, making SMR training particularly effective in treating insomnia and other sleep disorders. Additionally, SMR has been linked to improved pain regulation by reducing cortical excitability associated with somatic hyperarousal. From a therapeutic perspective, the clinical significance of SMR lies in its ability to stabilize neurophysiological patterns across a range of disorders. By reinforcing SMR through neurofeedback, practitioners can facilitate neural efficiency, especially in populations characterized by motor and attentional systems dysregulation. Training protocols often reinforce SMR while simultaneously inhibiting theta and high beta to balance underarousal and overactivation. As a rhythm that bridges sensory and motor domains while promoting calm executive function, SMR remains a valuable target in neurotherapy for achieving comprehensive improvements in self-regulation and neurological functioning. Psychological and medical disorders. Sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, has been studied extensively for its therapeutic potential across various psychological and medical disorders. In attention deficit / hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, individuals frequently display deficient SMR activity, which is associated with motor hyperactivity and difficulty sustaining attention. Enhancing SMR through neurofeedback has shown significant promise in reducing hyperactivity and improving attentional focus, making it one of the most empirically supported protocols for this population. In randomized controlled trials, SMR training has been linked to increased cortical inhibition and improved executive control, reducing impulsivity and task-related distractibility. Beyond ADHD, SMR neurofeedback has been utilized in the management of epilepsy, particularly for individuals with generalized or focal seizure activity. Training SMR appears to stabilize cortical excitability and enhance thalamocortical rhythmicity, reducing seizure frequency and severity. This has positioned SMR as a viable non-pharmacologic adjunct for individuals with refractory epilepsy. Additionally, SMR-based interventions have demonstrated benefit in anxiety and mood disorders by promoting states of physiological calm and emotional regulation. By increasing SMR, individuals may experience decreased physiological arousal and enhanced capacity for emotional self-control, which contributes to symptom reduction in generalized anxiety and depressive disorders. SMR is also implicated in improving sleep architecture, particularly in treating insomnia. Individuals with poor sleep maintenance or delayed onset often show deficits in SMR generation. Training this rhythm promotes motor stillness and neural quieting, facilitating transitions into sleep and enhancing sleep depth. Studies have reported improved sleep efficiency, reduced sleep latency, and better subjective sleep quality following SMR neurofeedback. The versatility of SMR across disorders highlights its value in restoring regulatory balance in psychological and physiological domains. When integrated into personalized treatment protocols, SMR enhancement is a powerful tool for broad-spectrum symptom management and neural optimization. The sensorimotor rhythm and sleep spindles. Sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, and sleep spindles share overlapping spectral characteristics and may arise from similar thalamocortical mechanisms. SMR typically occurs in the 12 to 15 Hz range and is recorded over the sensorimotor strip during wakefulness. At the same time, sleep spindles appear during stage 2 non-REM sleep and are also centered within this frequency band. Both rhythms are generated through reciprocal interactions between the thalamus and cortex, with the thalamic reticular nucleus playing a central role in pacing these oscillations. This structural and functional overlap suggests that training SMR may indirectly enhance spindle density or quality, supporting sleep maintenance and cognitive integration during rest. Empirical studies have found associations between increased SMR activity and improved sleep onset latency and maintenance. The neural inhibition promoted by SMR may quiet the motor cortex, reduce sensory processing, and facilitate the neurophysiological conditions necessary for sleep spindle generation. Sleep spindles, in turn, are involved in memory consolidation, emotional regulation, and sleep stability. Enhancing SMR may therefore produce downstream effects on spindle activity and associated cognitive and emotional outcomes. This link positions SMR training as a potential intervention for improving both sleep quality and cognitive resilience. Moreover, neurofeedback protocols targeting SMR may serve dual purposes, promoting sensorimotor inhibition during wakefulness and enhancing sleep-related brain rhythms during rest. This integrated approach may benefit clients who exhibit sleep disturbances and excessive daytime arousal. Clinicians can promote more efficient transitions between behavioral modes by training a rhythm that bridges waking and sleep states. As research continues to elucidate the shared mechanisms of SMR and sleep spindles, their integration and treatment protocols will likely expand, particularly for conditions characterized by both arousal dysregulation and sleep fragmentation. Summary for SMR. Sensorimotor rhythm, SMR, defined within the 12 to 15 Hz range, plays a pivotal role in regulating motor activity, promoting sensory gating, and supporting states of calm alertness. Generated by thalamocortical relay circuits, SMR arises from synchronous oscillations in the sensorimotor cortex and facilitates neural inhibition without impairing readiness. This rhythm supports attentional control, impulse modulation, and behavioral stillness, making it especially relevant in clinical contexts involving overactivation, such as ADHD and epilepsy. The presence and enhancement of SMR are associated with improved neural efficiency and cortical regulation across diverse psychological and physiological domains. Clinically, SMR training has demonstrated efficacy in managing ADHD, seizure disorders, anxiety, depression, and sleep disturbances. By reinforcing SMR through neurofeedback, individuals gain increased control over motor impulses, enhanced emotional regulation, and improved sleep architecture. SMR also contributes to reducing hyperarousal states and promoting internal stabilization, thereby supporting neuroplastic changes conducive to behavioral and cognitive improvements. Its broad applicability and stable neural signature make SMR a reliable target for intervention. In neurofeedback, SMR protocols often include simultaneous inhibition of slow, theta, and fast, high beta, frequencies to fine-tune arousal levels. The relationship between SMR and sleep spindles further enhances its therapeutic scope, especially in addressing sleep-related impairments. As research continues to elucidate its underlying mechanisms, SMR remains a cornerstone of EEG-based treatment approaches aimed at optimizing neural performance and facilitating functional restoration in clients with complex neurobehavioral conditions. Beta over 12 Hz. Beta rhythms occupy a wide frequency range above 12 Hz and are typically subdivided into low beta, 12 to 15 Hz, mid beta, 15 to 20 Hz, and high beta, above 20 Hz. These rhythms are generally associated with active mental processing, sensory integration, and motor planning. Beta is most prominent over the frontal and central scalp regions and tends to increase during cognitive tasks, problem solving, or states of heightened alertness. While low beta overlaps with SMR, it is distinct in its association with active engagement rather than motor inhibition. The presence and distribution of beta activity provide valuable information about cortical arousal, executive function, and sensorimotor readiness. Beta is also linked to desynchronized neural activity, indicating localized, task-specific cortical processing. This rhythm reflects the brain's real-time interaction with the environment and is integral to maintaining alertness, processing novel stimuli, and executing voluntary movement. However, beta must be interpreted in context. Appropriate levels support cognitive and motor function, while excessive beta may indicate anxiety, obsessive thinking, or hypervigilance. Conversely, insufficient beta activity in expected cortical regions can point to underactivation, as seen in some forms of depression, attentional deficits, or post-concussion syndrome. Neurofeedback targeting beta frequencies must be precisely calibrated. Training low beta may enhance focus and cognitive performance, especially in individuals with ADHD or brain injury. In contrast, downtraining high beta can alleviate symptoms of anxiety, irritability, or insomnia. The clinical challenge lies in distinguishing between functional and dysfunctional beta based on frequency range, topographic location, and behavioral presentation. Because beta represents the brain's capacity for active engagement, its modulation is often central to protocols addressing performance enhancement, emotional regulation, and mental clarity. Beta rhythm generators. Beta activity originates from multiple sources within the central nervous system, including cortical, thalamic, and brainstem structures. Cortical beta rhythms often arise from sensorimotor, premotor, and prefrontal areas during periods of planning, movement, and sustained attention. These oscillations are shaped by the balance of excitatory and inhibitory postsynaptic potentials in cortical pyramidal neurons. The synchrony or desynchrony of these signals determines the amplitude and coherence of beta observed at the scalp. In movement-related tasks, beta may decrease immediately before voluntary action, a phenomenon known as event-related resynchronization, and increase post-movement as the cortex returns to baseline. The reticular activating system in the brainstem also contributes to beta generation, modulating cortical arousal through ascending projections. These circuits regulate sleep-wake cycles, alertness, and sensory responsiveness. Neuromodulators such as dopamine, norepinephrine, and GABA play essential roles in beta rhythm modulation, influencing cortical excitability and oscillatory dynamics. Beta can therefore serve as an index of neurochemical balance, and abnormalities in beta are frequently observed in conditions characterized by altered neurotransmitter function, such as Parkinson's disease, anxiety, and ADHD. External factors such as medication, caffeine, and stress levels can modulate beta amplitude and topography. Stimulants typically increase beta activity, particularly in the frontal cortex, while sedatives may suppress it. Abnormal beta activity may also emerge following traumatic brain injury or in neurodevelopmental disorders where cortical organization is disrupted. These contextual variables must be considered when interpreting beta rhythms and designing individualized neurofeedback protocols. A thorough understanding of the neurophysiological underpinnings of beta supports accurate assessment and effective therapeutic targeting across diverse clinical and performance settings. Beta rhythm abnormalities. Abnormalities in beta activity often present as either excessive or deficient amplitude and may have distinct clinical implications depending on the location and frequency band involved. Excess high beta activity, 20 to 30 Hz, is frequently observed in individuals with anxiety, insomnia, obsessive-compulsive disorder, or chronic pain. This pattern reflects cortical overactivation and difficulty disengaging from external or internal stimuli. Spindling beta, bursts of high beta activity resembling sleep spindles, has been associated with arousal dysregulation and can occur in both clinical and high-functioning individuals, such as those with high cognitive load or emotional reactivity. Conversely, beta underactivity in task-relevant cortical regions may indicate reduced engagement, impaired arousal, or damage to neural circuits. In post-concussion syndrome, beta suppression can reflect disrupted connectivity, while in depressive disorders, it may indicate prefrontal hypoactivation. Lateralized beta abnormalities, particularly when asymmetric across hemispheres, can signal focal lesions, neurovascular compromise, or functional disconnection. These patterns may also be correlated with behavioral signs, such as poor impulse control, distractibility, or slowed cognitive processing. Clinicians must distinguish between meaningful beta abnormalities and benign individual variations. contextual analysis involving behavioral presentation, normative database comparisons, and state-dependent factors is essential. Neurofeedback targeting beta typically involves reinforcing low to mid beta in underactive regions and inhibiting high beta in overactive areas. This dual modulation supports restoration of cognitive clarity, emotional equilibrium, and executive control. When interpreted within a structured clinical framework, beta rhythm abnormalities provide valuable diagnostic and therapeutic guidance in diverse neuropsychological and neuropsychiatric conditions. Spindling excessive beta, SEB. Spindling excessive beta, SEB, is a specific EEG pattern characterized by high amplitude beta activity in the form of rhythmic spindles, typically within the 20 to 30 Hz range. These patterns are distinct from diffuse beta and are identified by their periodic, spindle-like morphology, usually localized to frontal or central regions. SEB is considered a transdiagnostic biomarker, appearing across various psychiatric and neurodevelopmental conditions, including ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, insomnia, and medication-resistant mood disorders. The consistency of SEB across conditions suggests a shared neurophysiological substrate linked to hyperarousal, cortical inefficiency, or disrupted inhibitory control. SEB has been correlated with sleep disturbances, particularly insomnia, where it may reflect impaired sleep spindle generation or thalamocortical dysregulation. In ADHD, individuals with SEB often exhibit greater impulsivity and emotional reactivity, as well as lower treatment response to conventional pharmacological interventions. SEB is also more common in clients who have failed multiple medication trials, suggesting that it may serve as a marker of treatment resistance or atypical neurophysiological architecture. Importantly, SEB may also occur in high-functioning individuals and must be interpreted in light of symptom profiles, comorbidities, and behavioral context. From a therapeutic standpoint, SEB presents both a challenge and an opportunity. Traditional neurofeedback approaches may not effectively target this rhythm without precise identification and individualized protocol design. Clinicians may choose to inhibit high beta or employ connectivity-based training if SEB is associated with network instability. Because SEB often coexists with other EEG abnormalities, a comprehensive assessment is required to ensure appropriate intervention. As a distinctive EEG feature with wide-ranging implications, SEB underscores the importance of detailed waveform inspection and tailored neurofeedback strategies in complex clinical presentations. Conclusion for beta and SEB. Beta rhythms encompass a broad spectrum of cortical activity related to arousal, cognition, and sensorimotor processing. Their interpretation is context-dependent, requiring analysis of frequency subbands, spatial distribution, and behavioral correlates. Appropriate levels of beta support executive function, sustained attention, and motor planning, while deviations, either excessive or deficient, can signal dysregulation. Subtypes such as high beta and spindling beta are particularly important in identifying states of hyperarousal, anxiety, and obsessive thinking. Neurofeedback targeting beta must be individualized, emphasizing precision in selecting training frequencies and regions to balance excitatory and inhibitory processes effectively. Spindling excessive beta, SEB, introduces additional complexity to beta interpretation. As a transdiagnostic biomarker, SEB transcends categorical diagnoses and points to shared disruptions in cortical inhibition and network stability. Its occurrence in medication-resistant and comorbid populations reinforces the need for comprehensive EEG evaluation. Although SEB presents therapeutic challenges, it also offers clinicians a unique opportunity to refine diagnostic accuracy and customize interventions. Recognizing SEB patterns and integrating them into treatment planning can enhance outcomes across a range of neuropsychiatric conditions. The clinical significance of beta and SEB lies in their ability to inform both assessment and intervention. By examining the interplay between amplitude, frequency, and topography, practitioners can distinguish pathological from functional beta activity and tailor neurofeedback protocols accordingly. These rhythms serve as dynamic indicators of the brain's regulatory capacity and readiness for action. As technology and analytic precision evolve, the role of beta and SCB in neurofeedback and EEG interpretation will likely expand, deepening our understanding of cortical function and improving the personalization of care. Gamma, 28 to 80 Hz. Gamma rhythms, typically defined in the range of 28 to 80 Hz, are the fastest conventional EEG frequency bands and are associated with high-level cognitive integration, sensory binding, and conscious awareness. These oscillations are thought to facilitate the temporal coordination of distributed neural assemblies, enabling efficient information processing across cortical regions. Gamma activity often arises during moments of heightened perception, focused attention, memory encoding, and problem solving. Its role in interregional communication makes it especially relevant in executive functions and complex cognitive tasks. Gamma rhythms are most commonly recorded in frontal, parietal, and occipital regions and are modulated by top-down and bottom-up processes. They are generated by the synchronized firing of fast-spiking inner neurons, particularly those containing parvalbumin, which provide rhythmic inhibitory input to pyramidal cells. This interaction facilitates a tightly regulated excitatory-inhibitory balance necessary for cognitive stability and rapid information transfer. Gamma is also highly state-dependent, fluctuating with task demands, emotional states, and levels of alertness. These properties make gamma a promising marker for neural efficiency and cognitive readiness. In clinical EEG, interpreting gamma waves requires caution due to their overlap with electromyographic artifacts, especially in the 30 to 80 Hz range. Muscle tension in the scalp, face, or neck can contaminate gamma readings, necessitating careful inspection of raw data and use of artifact rejection algorithms. Nevertheless, when clearly present and physiologically plausible, gamma provides valuable insights into cortical activation patterns and the integrity of cognitive networks. It is increasingly being studied in populations with attentional, affective, and neurodegenerative disorders, where gamma disruptions may reflect underlying synaptic or connectivity abnormalities. Gamma rhythm generators. Gamma rhythms are generated by localized cortical circuits composed primarily of excitatory pyramidal neurons and inhibitory inner neurons. Fast-spiking inner neurons, particularly those expressing the calcium-binding protein parvalbumin, play a crucial role in pacing gamma oscillations by delivering rhythmic inhibitory postsynaptic potentials to pyramidal cells. This interaction allows neurons to fire in tightly regulated synchrony, producing high-frequency oscillations necessary for cognitive coherence and perceptual binding. These dynamics are essential for maintaining the temporal precision required for complex information processing. The thalamus and hippocampus generate gamma, especially during memory encoding and spatial navigation. Thalamocortical interactions provide modulatory input that shapes gamma phase locking and amplitude across different brain regions. In the hippocampus, gamma synchrony supports communication between subregions such as CA1 and CA3 and facilitates information exchange with the prefrontal cortex. This integration enables the formation and retrieval of episodic memories and is crucial for attentional control and working memory. Neuromodulatory systems influence gamma activity through the regulation of cortical excitability. Acetylcholine, dopamine, and GABA levels modulate gamma power and synchrony, impacting attention, reward processing, and executive function. Disruption in these systems can impair gamma oscillations and is implicated in various neuropsychiatric and neurodegenerative conditions. Understanding the cellular and network-level generators of gamma helps interpret EEG data and guides the design of neuromodulation and neurofeedback interventions targeting high-frequency oscillatory dysfunction. The meaning of gamma EEG activity. Gamma activity is a marker of cognitive integration, reflecting the brain's capacity to synchronize and bind distributed information into coherent percepts. It is closely linked to conscious awareness, with gamma synchrony often accompanying the integration of sensory modalities, decision-making, and insight. In visual processing, for example, gamma oscillations coordinate activity across occipital, parietal, and temporal cortices, enabling the seamless perception of color, shape, and motion. This binding function makes gamma crucial for perception, attentional focus, and cross-modal integration. In working memory and learning, gamma supports the maintenance of information through transient network synchronization. It facilitates communication between the hippocampus and neocortex during encoding and retrieval, allowing for the updating and reinforcing of memory traces. High gamma bursts are also associated with problem solving, linguistic processing, and social cognition, often coinciding with moments of insight or high cognitive demand. These patterns underline gamma's importance in higher-order cognitive functions and its sensitivity to task complexity and mental load. Alterations in gamma activity are observed in numerous clinical conditions, including schizophrenia, Alzheimer's disease, ADHD, and epilepsy. For instance, reduced gamma power and coherence in schizophrenia are associated with impaired perceptual organization and cognitive fragmentation. In Alzheimer's disease, gamma disruption is linked to amyloid accumulation and neural network disintegration. These associations have spurred interest in gamma-targeted interventions, including sensory stimulation and neurofeedback, to restore cognitive synchronization. As research advances, gamma continues to emerge as a central feature of dynamic brain function and a promising target for clinical innovation. Recent findings: advances in neuroimaging and electrophysiology have deepened our understanding of gamma oscillations and their relevance to both health and disease. High-density EEG, magnetoencephalography, MEG, and intracranial recordings have revealed that gamma activity is spatially and temporally specific, often reflecting task-related synchronization across distinct cortical networks. These findings have validated gamma's role in cognition and its sensitivity to changes in neural connectivity, excitability, and plasticity. Gamma coherence between distant brain regions has been shown to correlate with cognitive flexibility, memory integration, and problem-solving efficiency. Emerging research has also explored gamma entrainment as a potential therapeutic tool. Studies using sensory stimulation at 40 Hz have demonstrated promising effects in reducing amyloid plaque load and enhancing microglial activity in animal models of Alzheimer's disease. Human trials have begun to assess the feasibility of gamma entrainment in modulating cortical oscillations and improving cognitive function, with early results suggesting possible benefits for memory, attention, and global cognitive performance. These interventions capitalize on gamma's role in synchronizing neuronal ensembles and may offer non-invasive approaches to restoring network integrity. Additionally, gamma-based neurofeedback is gaining interest as a method to enhance cognitive control, sensory integration, and performance optimization. By training individuals to upregulate gamma activity in task-relevant regions, neurofeedback aims to reinforce adaptive neural synchrony. While challenges remain in separating gamma from high-frequency noise and artifact, improved signal processing algorithms and individualized protocols enhance the specificity and efficacy of gamma-targeted interventions. These developments underscore the expanding clinical and research applications of gamma activity, highlighting its potential as both a biomarker and a modifiable target in personalized neurotherapeutics. Conclusion for gamma. Gamma activity is central in synchronizing brain regions for integrated cognitive function, supporting processes such as attention, perception, memory encoding, and problem solving. Its generation depends on the finely tuned interplay between excitatory pyramidal neurons and inhibitory interneurons, as well as modulatory input from thalamic and subcortical structures. These dynamics make gamma an important marker of cortical integrity and a potential target for therapeutic modulation. Gamma's association with conscious awareness and sensory binding reinforces its relevance in foundational neuroscience and applied clinical contexts. Disruptions in gamma rhythms have been observed in numerous neuropsychiatric and neurodegenerative disorders, often indicating deficits in neural connectivity or synaptic regulation. Reduced gamma coherence and amplitude are common in conditions like schizophrenia, Alzheimer's disease, and ADHD, where impaired network synchronization undermines cognitive and emotional functioning. Conversely, elevated gamma, particularly in the form of artifact-contaminated high-frequency activity, may mislead interpretation unless rigorously verified through raw EEG inspection. As such, careful evaluation and context-specific interpretation are essential when utilizing gamma in clinical settings. As evidence accumulates, gamma-targeted interventions, including sensory entrainment and neurofeedback, demonstrate promise in restoring neural synchrony and improving functional outcomes. These techniques reflect a shift toward dynamic, oscillation-based models of brain health, emphasizing regulation and connectivity. The future of gamma research will likely involve expanded clinical trials, advanced signal processing technologies, and personalized training protocols. Together, these advances will enhance the application of gamma activity as a tool for cognitive enhancement, disease monitoring, and integrative brain-based therapy. Waveform morphology. Waveform morphology in EEG refers to the shape and structure of the oscillatory patterns produced by electrical activity in the brain. Each wave is a graphical representation of voltage differences over time, typically measured between two electrodes. Morphological features include the wave's symmetry, sharpness, duration, and the number of phases it exhibits. Regular or monomorphic waves have consistent shape and frequency, such as the smooth, sinusoidal appearance of posterior alpha, while irregular or polymorphic waves vary dynamically in their configuration. These distinctions are critical for differentiating between normal physiological rhythms and pathological discharges. Waves can also be categorized by the number of phases or deflections from the baseline. Monophasic waves have a single deflection, while biphasic and triphasic waves contain two or three distinct elements. Polyphasic waves, which contain multiple phases, are often seen in pathological states such as metabolic encephalopathy. Certain transient waveforms, such as sharp transients or slow waves, may resemble epileptiform activity but lack diagnostic features like steepness or consistent localization. Recognizing these subtleties requires careful visual inspection and an understanding of the expected morphology for different physiological and pathological states. Clinicians also evaluate wave complexes, which are groups of waves that occur together and maintain a consistent morphology across channels. Examples include the spike-in wave complexes seen in absence seizures or the K complexes of stage 2 sleep. Morphological interpretation is essential for accurate clinical EEG analysis, guiding diagnoses such as epilepsy, sleep disorders, and encephalopathy. For neurofeedback applications, waveform shape can indicate training targets and help monitor progress. Morphology must be interpreted in conjunction with frequency, amplitude, and topography to fully capture the functional significance of EEG patterns and distinguish genuine cortical activity from artifacts and noise. Source localization. Source localization techniques in EEG aim to estimate the origin of electrical activity within the brain, allowing practitioners to infer which cortical regions generate the observed scalp potentials. Because the scalp-recorded EEG is a summation of activity from multiple neural sources, determining the underlying generator requires mathematical modeling. The most common approaches involve solving the inverse problem, where scalp voltages are used to estimate the intracranial source configuration that best explains the observed signals. This process is inherently underdetermined, meaning multiple source configurations could produce the same scalp pattern. To address this challenge, various constraints and assumptions are applied. Low-resolution electromagnetic tomography, LORETTA, for example, assumes that neighboring voxels in the brain exhibit similar activity and uses this constraint to derive smooth, distributed source estimates. LORETTA produces three-dimensional images of cortical current density and has evolved into standardized S-LORETTA, exact E-LORETTA, and weighted SW-LORETTA versions. Each refinement improves spatial accuracy and reduces localization error by integrating probabilistic models or normative data comparisons. These tools allow clinicians and researchers to map EEG data to specific Brodmann areas, contributing to targeted interventions and hypothesis testing. Source localization enhances the interpretability of EEG data by identifying the cortical origin of abnormal or functionally significant activity. This is particularly useful in pre-surgical planning for epilepsy, assessment of attention and memory networks, and research on neurodevelopmental and psychiatric conditions. Although source localization is limited by factors such as sensor density and head model accuracy, it provides valuable complementary information to raw and spectral EEG analysis. Integrating source localization with clinical and behavioral data supports more precise diagnostics and individualized treatment planning in neurofeedback and neuromodulation. LORETTA, S-LORETTA, E-LORETTA, and SW-LORETTA. LORETTA, low-resolution electromagnetic tomography, is a widely used method for estimating the three-dimensional intracranial sources of scalp-recorded EEG signals. Loretta solves the inverse problem by assuming that neighboring cortical regions exhibit similar electrical activity, producing smooth current density estimates across the brain. The original Loretta algorithm provided 7 mm resolution and has since been refined into standardized S-Loretta, exact E-Loretta, and standardized weighted SW-Loretta versions. These iterations offer progressively improved spatial resolution, localization accuracy, and resistance to noise and modeling error. S-Loretta enhances Loretta by standardizing the current density estimates, making the results statistically comparable across individuals and regions. It eliminates localization bias under ideal conditions and assigns each voxel a standardized F-statistic, facilitating hypothesis testing. E-Loretta builds upon this by correcting for localization errors even in noisy data, making it particularly useful in clinical populations with variable signal quality. SW-Loretta introduces normative database comparisons and weighted estimation methods to improve the precision of current density mapping further. These source localization tools provide spatially resolved estimates of cortical activation, aiding in both research and clinical applications. They are commonly used to identify aberrant networks in epilepsy, target regions of dysfunction in psychiatric disorders, and map cognitive functions to anatomical regions. Importantly, these techniques only estimate cortical activity, as subcortical regions such as the thalamus and basal ganglia are beyond the spatial resolution of standard EEG. Nevertheless, integrating Loretta and its variants with qEEG and normative databases has revolutionized EEG interpretation, enabling more sophisticated, data-driven clinical decision-making. Laplacian analysis. Laplacian analysis, also known as current source density, CSD, or scalp current density, SCD, is a reference-free technique that enhances the spatial resolution of EEG by computing the second spatial derivative of voltage across the scalp. Unlike traditional EEG measures sensitive to volume conduction and reference electrode placement, Laplacian transforms and emphasizes local activity by isolating radial current flow from underlying cortical sources. This allows for a more accurate representation of focal brain activity, minimizing the influence of distant sources and improving topographical specificity. CSD maps produced through Laplacian analysis reveal both sources, positive values, and sinks, negative values, offering a two-dimensional visualization of the direction and intensity of current flow across the scalp. These maps provide insight into cortical activation patterns during resting and task-related conditions. Because Laplacian methods are largely independent of reference scheme, they are particularly useful for comparing data across sessions or populations, and for identifying localized dysfunctions such as focal slowing, asymmetry, or abnormal coherence. In clinical and research applications, Laplacian analysis complements other EEG methods, such as Loretta, by providing higher spatial fidelity without making assumptions about head conductivity or cortical anatomy. It is particularly valuable in neurofeedback and cognitive neuroscience studies, where precise localization of sensorimotor, visual, or auditory cortex activity is necessary. Additionally, because Laplacian transformed signals are less affected by widespread noise artifacts, they are often used to refine training protocols and improve signal-to-noise ratio. Together with source localization techniques, Laplacian analysis expands the interpretive power of EEG by bridging raw signal morphology with functional neuroanatomy. Clinically significant raw waveforms. Clinically significant raw EEG waveforms are transient or pattern features that provide essential diagnostic information and guide neurofeedback interventions. These waveforms include specific patterns such as kappa rhythm, lambda waves, vertex sharp transients, mu waves, spike in wave complexes, isolated epileptiform discharges, sleep spindles, and K complexes. Each represents a distinct neural event or physiological state and is identified through careful visual inspection of the raw EEG trace. Recognizing their morphology, location, and reactivity is essential for distinguishing normal variants from pathological activity. Some waveforms, like kappa rhythm and lambda waves, are benign and related to normal visual processing or alertness. In contrast, Others, such as spike in wave complexes or isolated epileptiform discharges, may indicate seizure susceptibility or epileptiform disorders. Sleep-related waveforms, including sleep spindles, vertex sharp transients, and K-complexes serve as markers of specific sleep stages and provide insight into sleep architecture and quality. The presence, amplitude, and distribution of these waveforms help assess cortical function and developmental maturity. In neurofeedback, accurately identifying these patterns ensures that clinicians do not reinforce non-physiological or pathological activity. For example, mu rhythms may be mistaken for alpha due to overlapping frequency, but must be inhibited rather than rewarded. Spike in wave activity should be ruled out before initiating amplitude-based training. These waveform recognitions also guide artifact rejection procedures, as certain transients might mimic or obscure artifacts. Mastery of waveform morphology enhances the safety and precision of EEG interpretation and is a fundamental competency in clinical neurophysiology. Kappa rhythm. The kappa rhythm is a benign, low-amplitude waveform observed over the temporal lobes during periods of focused mental activity, such as reading or internal dialogue. It typically falls within the alpha or theta frequency range and presents as rhythmic or semi-rhythmic activity. Unlike pathological discharges, kappa does not disrupt background activity or exhibit stereotyped morphology, and its amplitude is generally less than 20 microvolts. The origin of kappa is debated, with some suggesting it reflects cortical effort, while others propose it results from eyelid flutter or muscular tension during visual tasks. Clinically, the kappa rhythm should not be confused with epileptiform activity, as it is a normal variant and does not reflect underlying pathology. Its temporal localization and task dependence help differentiate it from paroxysmal events or focal slowing. Visual inspection, in conjunction with awareness of the behavioral state during recording, is critical to avoid misclassification. Recognizing the kappa rhythm prevents unnecessary concern or further invasive evaluation and contributes to more accurate interpretation of temporal EEG findings. In neurofeedback contexts, kappa may appear during training focused on internal attention or cognitive effort. If incorrectly identified, it could be misinterpreted as theta or low alpha activity and inadvertently targeted during feedback. This highlights the importance of waveform-level analysis in EEG-based interventions. By distinguishing kappa from artifacts and pathological patterns, clinicians ensure that training reinforces adaptive cortical processes and avoids reinforcing epiphenomena unrelated to the therapeutic target. Lambda waves. Lambda waves are visually evoked potentials that appear as sharp, transient waveforms over the occipital regions when individuals scan complex images or engage in active visual search. These positive deflections typically occur in the waking EEG, are time-locked to saccadic eye movements, and last approximately 200 to 250 milliseconds. They are most prominent with eyes open and only when subjects actively view structured visual input. Lambda waves are physiological and are distinct from pathological sharp waves or epileptiform activity. Because of their occipital localization and sharp contour, lambda waves can resemble pathological transients, particularly when superimposed on a low-amplitude background. However, their stimulus-linked occurrence, lack of aftercoming slow wave, and brief duration help distinguish them from epileptiform discharges. The absence of lambda waves during eye closure or passive visual fixation also supports their benign nature. Recognizing lambda waves prevents misdiagnosis and avoids unnecessary concern regarding occipital spikes or interictal epileptiform patterns. Clinically, lambda waves are not targeted in neurofeedback and have no pathological significance. However, their presence may indirectly confirm visual engagement and attentional state during EEG acquisition. When asymmetrical or unusually frequent, lambda waves should be interpreted in context with behavioral observations and overall EEG reactivity. In quantitative EEG, their occurrence can influence spectral estimates in the occipital alpha and theta ranges if not correctly identified and segmented. Vertex sharp transients. Vertex sharp transients, also known as five waves, are high amplitude, negative deflections typically observed over central midline regions, most prominently at the CZ electrode, during the transition from wakefulness to sleep. These waveforms appear most frequently during stage 1 and early stage 2 non-REM sleep and are often triggered by sudden or unexpected stimuli, such as auditory clicks. Vertex sharp transients are physiological in origin, short, usually under 200 milliseconds, and symmetric across the midline. They reflect cortical responses to sensory input and indicate the onset of sleep-related neurophysiological processes. Clinically, vertex sharp transients are important markers of sleep architecture and serve as temporal landmarks during polysomnographic recordings. Their presence confirms entry into light sleep and distinguishes early sleep stages from wakefulness and deeper sleep. These transients should not be confused with epileptiform discharges, as they lack after-going slow waves, display symmetrical midline localization, and occur exclusively in the sleep context. Misinterpreting 5 waves as pathological spikes can lead to erroneous diagnoses, especially when EEG sleep staging is not integrated into the analysis. In neurofeedback and QEG applications, vertex sharp transients are typically not targeted but must be accurately recognized to prevent contamination of artifact rejection routines and spectral analysis. If included in training epochs or spectral windows, they can distort amplitude or power measurements in the delta and theta bands. Recognizing vertex sharp transients and distinguishing them from pathological discharges or movement-related artifacts helps maintain the fidelity of EEG analysis, especially in assessments conducted near sleep onset or in clients prone to drowsiness during recording sessions. Mu waves. Mu waves are arch-shaped waveforms typically seen in the 8 to 13 Hz range, resembling the alpha rhythm in frequency, but differing in morphology, topography, and reactivity. They are most commonly recorded over the sensorimotor cortex, especially at the C3 and C4 electrodes, and appear as runs of wicket-shaped waveforms during states of motor idleness. Mu activity is reduced or suppressed, i.e., blocked, during actual or imagined movement, reflecting the desynchronization of neuronal populations involved in motor execution or preparation. This reactivity helps differentiate mu waves from posterior alpha, which is influenced by visual input and cognitive states. In clinical EEG, mu waves are considered normal variants and do not indicate pathology. However, their identification is essential to avoid misclassification, particularly when interpreting central rhythms in developmental or neuropsychiatric populations. Mu activity may be accentuated in individuals on the autism spectrum or those with mirror neuron dysfunctions, and its presence can be informative in research exploring social cognition or motor resonance. Because mu and alpha can co-occur and overlap in frequency, distinguishing them based on topographic location and blocking behavior is critical. In neurofeedback, mu waves are generally not rewarded due to their association with motor idleness and cortical inhibition. Mu suppression is often a therapeutic goal in protocols aimed at enhancing sensorimotor integration or improving motor planning. For example, encouraging mu desynchronization through mental imagery or movement tasks may support functional recovery in individuals with motor deficits. Overall, mu waves offer insights into the dynamics of the sensorimotor system and play a unique role in bridging electrophysiological signals with motor and social behavior. Spike in wave complexes. Spike in wave complexes are hallmark EEG patterns observed in various forms of epilepsy, particularly absent seizures. These complexes consist of a sharp spike component, typically 20 to 70 milliseconds, followed by a slower wave, forming a biphasic structure. The classical 3 Hz spike in wave pattern is most commonly associated with childhood absence epilepsy and tends to be generalized, symmetric, and synchronous across both hemispheres. During clinical events, these complexes correspond with brief episodes of impaired consciousness and behavioral arrest. The spike component represents rapid depolarization and neuronal synchronization, while the subsequent slow wave reflects inhibitory rebound activity. These events are believed to arise from pathological oscillations within the thalamocortical loop, where an abnormal feedback cycle amplifies synchronous discharges. Generalized spike in wave activity is distinct from focal spikes or sharp waves in that it involves widespread cortical networks and often presents without focal abnormalities on imaging. Nonetheless, variants such as polyspike in wave and focal spike in wave may be seen in other epilepsy syndromes, including juvenile myoclonic epilepsy and focal epilepsies. In clinical EEG interpretation, the presence, frequency, and morphology of spike in wave complexes guide diagnosis, prognosis, and treatment planning. Anti-epileptic medications may be selected based on the predominance of generalized versus focal discharges. For neurofeedback, spike in wave activity is considered a contraindication for standard amplitude training, as inadvertent reinforcement could exacerbate epileptiform tendencies. Therefore, a thorough EEG review is mandatory before initiating training. Spike in wave complexes are not only diagnostic, but also reflect underlying neurophysiological instability, reinforcing the importance of identifying and monitoring their presence in affected individuals. Isolated epileptiform discharges. Isolated epileptiform discharges, IEDs, are single or sporadic paroxysmal waveforms such as spikes, sharp waves, or spike and slow wave complexes that occur independently of clinical seizures. Unlike the repetitive or rhythmic discharges seen in overt epilepsy, IEDs may appear as isolated events in EEG recordings of individuals without a formal epilepsy diagnosis. These discharges are brief, lasting 20 to 200 milliseconds, and typically show a sharp morphology, often followed by a slow wave. While their clinical significance varies, IEDs are considered markers of cortical hyperexcitability and may suggest an increased risk for seizures or subclinical epileptiform activity. IEDs are most commonly observed in children with developmental or psychiatric disorders, including attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, autism spectrum disorder, ASD, and mood or anxiety disorders. In these populations, IEDs may occur without overt seizure activity, but can influence cognition, behavior, and treatment response. For example, the presence of IEDs has been associated with increased sensitivity to psychotropic medications and variable outcomes with neurostimulants. Identification of IEDs in such contexts may prompt changes in treatment planning or referral for further neurological evaluation. In neurofeedback and QEG-based interventions, it is essential to screen for IEDs before initiating training protocols, especially those involving amplitude enhancement. Reinforcing a region that intermittently exhibits epileptiform discharges could potentially destabilize cortical activity and increase seizure risk. Consequently, clinicians should conduct a thorough review of raw EEG data and consider consulting with a neurologist when uncertain. Understanding the prevalence, morphology, and contextual implications of IEDs ensures that EEG-based interventions are safe, targeted, and responsive to individual neurophysiological profiles. Sleep spindles. Sleep spindles are short bursts of rhythmic activity that typically occur in the 12 to 15 Hz frequency range and last between 0.5 and 2 seconds. They are most prominent during stage 2 non-REM sleep and are best observed over central and parietal regions. Spindles are generated by thalamocortical circuits and serve a protective function by shielding the brain from external sensory input, thereby preserving sleep continuity. They are considered hallmarks of healthy sleep architecture and are often used as markers in sleep staging and research. Functionally, sleep spindles contribute to synaptic plasticity, memory consolidation, and learning. Studies have shown that increased spindle density correlates with improved declarative memory performance and cognitive integration. Spindle abnormalities, such as reduced frequency or density, have been observed in individuals with schizophrenia, depression, and neurodegenerative diseases, highlighting their clinical relevance. Differences in spindle characteristics across age groups also provide insight into neurodevelopmental and aging-related changes in brain function. From a clinical EEG perspective, sleep spindles must be distinguished from other spindle-like waveforms, such as SMR and beta spindles. They are symmetric, centrally distributed, and specific to sleep stages. While not typically targeted in neurofeedback, understanding their morphology and implications supports broader assessment of cognitive and neural integrity. Their role in restorative sleep and cognitive performance underscores the importance of identifying and preserving sleep spindle integrity in both diagnostic and therapeutic contexts. K-complexes. K-complexes are large, biphasic waveforms seen during stage 2 non-REM sleep and are among the most distinctive features of sleep EEG. They typically begin with a sharp negative deflection followed by a slower positive wave, lasting at least 500 milliseconds. K-complexes are most often observed over frontocentral regions and may occur spontaneously or in response to external stimuli, such as auditory or tactile input. Their presence reflects a transitional neural state between wakefulness and deeper stages of sleep, indicating the brain's capacity to monitor the environment while maintaining sleep integrity. Neurophysiologically, K-complexes are thought to involve widespread cortical activation followed by a coordinated inhibitory process mediated by the thalamus. This dynamic allows the brain to process salient stimuli without full arousal, contributing to sensory gating and sleep preservation. Functionally, K-complexes play a role in memory consolidation and integrating waking experiences into long-term storage. Their frequency and morphology may vary with age, cognitive status, and neurological health, with diminished or absent K-complexes often observed in neurodegenerative conditions. Clinically, K-complexes are important for accurate sleep staging and should be recognized to avoid misclassification of sleep depth or pathology. They are not epileptiform, though their high amplitude and sharp onset may resemble interictal discharges to the untrained eye. In neurofeedback, K-complexes are not directly targeted but should be considered during EEG acquisition and artifact review, particularly in drowsy participants or those prone to sleep onset during training. Understanding the characteristics and functions of K-complexes enhances the precision of sleep-related EEG interpretation and supports a comprehensive approach to assessing cortical dynamics across arousal states. Conclusion: EEG signal processing integrates electrophysiological principles with clinical neurophysiology to interpret brain activity meaningfully. This document has traced the entire signal journey, from analog waveform acquisition to complex digital filtering and frequency decomposition. Each frequency band, from delta to gamma, contributes to a broader understanding of normal and pathological brain states, highlighting their value in both cognitive neuroscience and clinical diagnostics. Moreover, the recognition of waveform morphology and the use of advanced localization methods like Loretta and surface Laplacian analysis deepen the interpretive power of EEG. Clinically significant patterns such as kappa rhythm, mu waves, and spike in wave discharges underscore the diagnostic utility of EEG in neurodevelopmental, psychiatric, and seizure-related conditions. The final sections reiterate the importance of continuous education, normative databases, and methodological precision in enhancing EEG accuracy and clinical relevance. This integrated approach supports both seasoned clinicians and new practitioners in refining their skills and improving outcomes through informed neurofeedback and EEG interpretation.